let's go to the Word of God today. I just want to share a little bit. I'm going to go to Proverbs 23. You know, throughout the word, you will have warnings. You will have heads up. There are times when the Lord will just say some things to bring our attention to some things as a reminder. How many know we need reminders? We need reminders. A friend of mine asked me, he said, "Now, how many times you going to read that book?" Talking about the Bible. I said, "Man, listen, every time you read that book, you get something fresh. And some things you thought you remembered, you totally forgot." Amen. I tend to be extemporaneous. Help me out. Did I get it right? That's the one I'm looking for right there. Some days. And so, you know, you quote stuff and sometimes you get stuff a little, if you're not fresh on it, you can get stuff a little jazzed up. I was looking at a passage this week. I think I preached that wrong. It happens every now and then that us preachers don't get it quite right. But the word, you know, going to the word to be refreshed, going into the word to be renewed in your thinking, in your thoughts, in your understanding, the word will remind you of things, and we do need to be reminded from time to time. And so we have some sharing today that I think will serve as a reminder, but not only a reminder, also the word of God should, and this is gets to the point of even the dull of hearing, the word of God should shape our attitude. And our attitude, particularly toward the philosophy of life, how we do life, how you do life. The word should shape your philosophy or your attitude for your philosophy of life. So many people get their way of doing life from so many different places. It's like gumbo. You know, you put a little bit of this in, a little bit of that in. But we need the Word of God. It's a warning there. There is a heads up there. There's recall there. And there are the values and the principles of the kingdom by which if we live our lives that way, life is better. When you live your life according to the values and the principles of the Word of God, life is better, markedly better. So you know the legislation passed this week. I know y'all are sick of hearing about it, right? Particularly if you're on social media, you can't help but to be sick of it. And I thought to myself, now that it's done, now what will we fret about now? So somebody asked a question. Of course, I've yet to answer the question directly as everybody wants. They just either want you to be for or against, and they want you to be very emphatic about how you state it. And so there's one person here, business person here in town that kind of made the statement, put it out there a little bit. And so my response was, there is the ideal, and then there is the exception. The ideal will always be better than the exception. There is a way that seems right to man that will give you one result, and then there is a way that the architect and the designer of life prescribe that will give you another result. So my response to it is, choose you this day. I mean, it's easy math. You know, there's no sense of getting all twisted up about choices, decisions, and thought processes of human beings because we were born sinners. So you have these things that will come up and present themselves. And quite frankly, I think in this season for the church, it's a good thing that we have these complex issues that causes us to examine what we really think we believe. It makes us dig a little deeper. And as I stated on my social media post, the real crisis that we're faced with in this hour is really not the issues of what people who don't believe in God do. The real crisis is that the people of God don't even read their Bible, so they don't know how to respond to it. So that's why you have one choosing this one choosing the other. Some of you got rainbows on your Facebook profile photo. You don't know why, except you feel a certain kind of way about the people in your life that you love so dearly, and rather than offend. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying, how did you come up with that choice? What brought you to that place to make whatever choice or decision you made about this particular issue? How did you get there? Did you get there because you listened to CNN? Did you get there because of your, again, your leaning toward the one you love that you know is in that world? Did you get there because you just sat and thought about it long enough and you just thought, well, I'll just, or did you actually go to this book and get something out of this book and say, I'm going to stand on what this book says no matter how it feels, whether I value, appreciate, celebrate it, or rejected and ostracized? What will I do? And, you know, we're not the first ones in all of history to be faced with a social question that had to be answered according to the ways of God. You see, we grew up, those of us who grew up in the old school church, you how many of you know about Meshach, Shadrach? And yeah, how many of y'all know about them? How many of y'all know about little Daniel in the lion's den? Come on now, preach somebody. I know I can hand the mic over, you can preach it better than me, but listen, they were simply faced with the same kind of question. Under the same sort of conditions, even worse. They had all of society looking at them to see how they were going to respond to what had been presented, which created a crisis. So the word of God is beneficial to us, but it takes making a decision that I am convinced that God's prescription for life, the one who created this life, I'm convinced that His ways are better. No matter how it feels, His ways are better. And I'm not going to adjust to accommodate society or the world. I'm going to adjust to accommodate what He says. And I found as a believer that that's not always easy. How many know that's not always easy? Come on now, preachers, help me out. It's not always easy to bend to accommodate what God says we need to do. It's not easy. It's not a simple thing. You know, we don't just stand up and decide, well, the word says do this, and then you just say, oh, okay, I'll do that. No, sometimes you've wrestled with that thing for years. You know what's right, but wrong keep on showing up, and wrong sometimes feel a lot better than right. Wrong often feels better than right until you start doing right, and then all of a sudden, wrong feels weird. I'm preaching right now. Come on. So, you know, I want to be able to hear this word. I want to be able to make a commitment that even when it's uncomfortable. Now, let me just say this too on this subject since we're there, and I wasn't trying to address that thoroughly this morning, but you know, Jesus didn't throw folks sand in their face. Right. Now, some folk take that to mean affirmation and acceptance. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not affirming nor accepting. They brought the woman who was caught in adultery before Jesus, and they began to list out all the things she had done. And Jesus didn't say anything. He just knelt down and began to write in the sand. When he looked up, all the accusers were gone. What do you think happened? What's the possibility? It's possible that Jesus knew their business and started writing it out. And at the end of the day, they realized, well, my stuff ain't no better than her stuff. And in fact, one of the reasons that I was able to report her stuff, because I might have been in the room too. The word provides warning, heads up, reminders, But ultimately, it should shape our attitude and our philosophy for doing life. So, Proverbs 23:4. And I'm in the Message Bible today. I like that Message Bible. You like that Bible? I got to read them all, though. And I'm raised on King James, so if I don't get a thee and a thou in there every now and then, life just ain't right. But sometimes the Message Bible has a way of saying some stuff so very clear, very directly. And, he just gets in your business with this particular translation. So he says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Restrain yourself. Riches disappear in the blink of an eye. Wealth sprouts wings and flies off into the wild blue yonder. My goodness. Now, some of you say, well, I'm not trying to get rich. I'm just trying to make it. Well, he's talking to you too. No, he's talking to you too. And what he's saying here is that things and stuff, they're slippery. You can have it in your hand, and you think you got a firm grip. You know, you ever had a bar of soap in the shower and you're trying to get out the house? And you're trying to get it done, and the soap dropped, and you pick it up, and it drop again. This is the way stuff, things are. So he's really saying, again, it's a heads up. It's a reminder. It's helping us to form our attitude about some things. Don't be holding on to stuff too firmly that's not eternal. Don't have such a firm grip on things that's not eternal. Now we're talking about an attitude and a philosophy of life. What's most important? That's what we're talking about here. Perspective. Putting things where they belong and keeping them there. How many orderly people do we have here? You have any orderly people? Not many, huh? My granddaughter, Pastor Hines here. Pastor Debbie Hines. Very orderly. Yeah, yeah. That's okay. I'm with you. Now I got Miss Ari. She'll probably be at the second service. That's my little 2-year-old grandbaby. Now when she comes to the house, the first thing she does is she comes into the room and she identifies what belongs to who. So she's going to bring me my shoes. She'll go get my throw. She gets all the remote controls and brings them to Papa. Putting things where they belong. Keeping things in their proper place, proper perspective. Simply saying, listen, don't be fooled by what others have been fooled by for many, 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 many years. And that's the thought that you can actually amass enough wealth to have security. That you can work hard enough and enough years to be able to establish for yourself a place that's immovable. Man, I've seen people work their whole life, save all the money. Don't spend on nothing. Get old, die, and their kids spend everything in 30 days. I'm being nice, Reverend. So he said, keep it in perspective. I like the way he says it. He said, riches disappear in the blink of an eye. Yeah. Wealth sprouts wings and flies off into the wild blue yonder. But here's the thing. The contrast is that the promises of God, though, those are unchanging. Amen. It's the only consistent thing that you can bank on in all of life is that God's ways never change, and the fruit that comes from that tree will always be plentiful, will always be ripe, and will always be tasty. You know, in the world, it's a hit and miss. It's a hit and miss in the world. I mean, listen, you can make an investment. You can plant some seeds. How many of y'all gardeners here? We got any gardeners? You know every year is different. One year the tomatoes are huge. The next year they barely come out. The ways of God are consistent. He said, make sure that you're holding firm to the right things and that you're not duped to think that these things will actually bring what the world tells you they can bring. Now, this is a complex thing. I was thinking when it comes to these kinds of matters, and this is why, come on, let's just pray. Father, open our ears to hear. Open our ears to hear this. Open our spirits. Condition our hearts to receive the essence of what you're saying to us, and help us to apply this truth to our lives. Help it to shape our attitudes. Help it to become a foundational part of our philosophy for doing life. Amen. It's attention when we have these kinds of subjects, because the first thought that people have is he's saying we shouldn't have stuff. You know, I was raised in that environment where poor seem to be more spiritual. And, of course, we took one scripture that didn't mean what we thought it meant, and we said, you know, it's easier for the camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that was misinterpreted to mean that people with riches couldn't make it to heaven. But then you know that we missed, because a whole lot of the folk in the Bible that were really close to God had money to burn. Solomon was very, very rich. Abraham had paper. Come on now. They had it like that. You can go on down the line. There's a whole lot of them. So there's a tension. So you have to be able to hear what God is saying, and then you really do need the Holy Spirit to help you to put it where it belongs so you can do it, because we need to have some paper. I keep telling people around here, I'm helping people get their businesses started, to improve their business, get behind, try to promote, because we need some millionaires. Amen. We need liberal millionaires. We need some kingdom-styled millionaires. I need you to be rich. Yes, I, you know, well, now, Brother Creflo, he wanted the jet. I just want to ride in one. I ain't mad at him. If you do a couple of those international runs, you'll be wanting a jet, too. Ain't no joke going through all that trying to get out of the country, get back in the country. Remember we came back and you had all that stuff? They stopped you in Atlanta. We were sitting there. You almost missed that flight, messing with him because he wanted to bring some fufu home. We just need to put it in the right place. We just need to understand what God is saying, but we also need to understand what he's not saying. Yeah. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So there's a tension that we live in. And if we're not careful, I remember, is it the Psalm 37? I told y'all that sometime to preach it miss. Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Yeah. Right? So How can such a song be written except somebody been fretting because of evildoers? So we sit and we hear the word of God, and the word says, now, don't hold too tight to these riches, and these riches are slippery, and the riches, okay? So then you say, okay, so I got that part. But the opposite end of that, well, should I have riches? You should have riches. The issue is the riches shouldn't have you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You can have whatever, and in fact, he wants you to have it. But he just doesn't want it to have you. Now, when you start canceling prayer meetings and start the stuff that you, and listen to me now, the stuff you were consistent in, because we all need some disciplines about our spiritual walk that should be never compromised.
Amen. Amen.
If you get too busy to stop and pray, you're too busy.
Yes, sir.
You started holding on to the wrong thing. If you're too busy to pray. If you're too busy to get in your word, then you're too busy. I have to cancel some stuff in order to make time to be with God. Even stuff that's justifiable. I can say, well, Lord, you know, I'm supposed to meet with Reverend so-and-so this morning about the summit. But now, if Reverend so-and-so's meeting about the summit gets in the way of me needing to talk to God, who owns Reverend so-and-so, me and the summit, then we just have to call and say, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to make that appointment. Can we get together some other time? It's because my faith. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe God hears. I believe he responds. And I don't see it as a religious duty. I don't think he gets mad at me. Come on, hear this now. He's not mad at you because you don't do it. He's just mad at the fact that you're missing out on the essence of life by holding on to something that has little value, trading it off for something that has eternal value. That's the issue. The issue is not, oh, you haven't talked to God or come to church, so he angry. No. No, somebody said, well, what's the point of going to church? I said, well, if you're going to play basketball, you're going to go over to the football field. You come to church with the basketball players because you're learning how to play basketball. You learn how to serve God. It's not God is not angry. It's just that this is where it happens. He said, don't be holding on, but it's a tension. It's a tension because it's a constant balancing act. Does anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Amen. You know, and you got to talk to yourself. Yes, you do. But you just can't talk to yourself in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. You need this word that warns you, that gives you heads up, that reminds you, that will feed you what's necessary to form the proper thinking. And then once you get that, now you have to believe it. You have to apply your faith to it. You see, Israel didn't benefit from what God was saying because even he was saying it and saying it and saying it, the Bible says it was never mixed with faith. Come on. You try to bake something and don't put that butter in there. Decide you short on eggs, so you just going to use one. You're going to come out with a hot mess. And so it is with our walk. If you don't mix faith with it, you can come here week after week after week after week and get all this wonderful information. Take notes. Repeat it. But if you don't mix that thing with faith, the Bible said it profited them nothing. Nothing. So there's the tension. I need to hear how to do life from the one who created life. I need to listen for his voice. How do I do life? You know? Well, he said where riches are concerned, you can have anything. In fact, the Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. God wants you to live large. But he's a jealous God. And he's not excited, you know, about us taking what he gives us and celebrating it instead of him. You maintain the house, but you won't maintain your prayer life. He gave you the house. You stop talking to him. All of a sudden, you don't talk to him no more. You talk to him when you were living in that one-bedroom apartment. You talk to him all the time. Yeah. Didn't you? All the time. And you just told him how much you loved him and how much you needed him. And then he gave you that four-bedroom house with 2.5 baths, the 2.5 car garage, got a little grass that you cut up and make the neighbors mad.
Leave me alone.
But leave me alone, huh? But then you make excuses for being with them now.
Come on.
And you reason it out. You make good sense of it. And I found that in the church, right here, right among you, there are some people that will get with you and say, amen. And they'll tell you, oh, you know, yeah, that's a preacher, you know. You know, he just gets the offering and goes home anyway, so he don't know the pain that we suffer. The preacher don't get the offering and go home, just so you know, by the way. As a reminder, another commercial message here, I get a paycheck like y'all get a paycheck, and I got to manage my money, too. It was tight today, too, by the way, trying to squeeze them real tired out. Just come back from vacation. It's like, Lord, please, let this cup pass. He said, fret not yourself because of evildoers. In other words, stop peering over there, looking at them, thinking, man, that dude, look at the dude's house. He just bought another car. They just came back from another cruise. He said, don't sit there. Don't do that. Don't look over there and measure by what you see there. He said, the end of that deal ain't going to be good. Not because God's mad. Come on, listen to what I'm saying to you. Not because God curses people because they have stuff. No, there's a system and a structure and a design of life that he created, and when we follow that, it's wonderful. When we don't, the wheels are going to come off of that cart. Consistently and faithfully.
Yeah.
And he's saying, don't be fooled by that. It's just a matter of time, and it's just that there's a principle at play here. And it's not gonna be good. So do what is right. So heed the voice of God. Follow the instruction and the direction of God. Do it his way, and life is gonna be better. Somebody say it's gonna be better. And so if we're not careful, listen now, if we're not careful, if we don't attend Bible study, if when we do miss some services, we don't grab the CD and listen or go download the message, then you're not rehearsing the truth in your heart and in your spirit. You're not rehearsing. You need to rehearse this thing. It's not an easy thing because this is an uphill battle. We're in a counterculture. This world does not think the way we think. They don't process life the way we process life. They don't do life the way we do life. And so if you're not listening to the voice that emanates from the church of the living God, you're going to listen to the counter voice, and the counter voice is always going to be counter. And it's going to always to encourage you to worship the wrong thing. The voice of the world is going to tell you, get a hold of it and hold tight. Life be good. And they say, don't worry about that fool over there. He don't know what to do giving all that money to the church. That's real. Anybody, you tell me you never heard that one before, right? But there's a way. There's a way. Lord said, this is the best way to do life. So you can listen to the world enough where you will subtly and progressively adopt the values of the world instead of the values of the kingdom of God. And then the consequences, and I see this all the time, here you are, born again believer, you're going to be with God eternally, but while you're living on the earth, you're living as one in the kingdom of darkness because you're living by those values. Now, that doesn't get you kicked out of heaven. That doesn't get you removed from the list toward eternity. What that does is it diminishes the quality of your life in God in the earth. That's all. You see, when the world is in despair, you're in despair. When you live by those values. When the world is hopeless, you become hopeless. When you live by those values. When the world feels like everything is coming up. That's why, listen, if you go, just go to the internet, just go on social media, and you have the vast majority of Christians saying, oh my God, Jesus is coming back and the world is falling apart and life is just, oh. I said, now, the only way you can get there, only way you can get to that place is if you're embracing the world's position on things. Now, if Jesus says out of his own mouth that this church that I'm establishing on this rock, say the very gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. But then you're going to tell me that the church is failing and so we need a rescue unit to come get us out. Because we're losing the battle. Well, now somebody ain't telling the truth. I got a sneaking suspicion that it ain't Jesus that's in error here on this. So who am I going to listen to? What voice? And again, let that be a reminder that even sometimes among us, when we're not going back and getting the reminders and getting what we need out of that word, that we'll believe stuff that ain't. You subtly begin to adopt the values of this world. So you can get to a place, and I'm still talking the tension where you wonder to yourself, does this faith really work? I had a young man that was a member of this church some years ago, and he wasn't a young man, actually. He was a grown man. And one day, he came to me, and I mean, this is after some years of sitting here listening to this kind of truth. And he says to me, I've just decided something after, you know, these many years that this just don't work. He said, this don't work. So I'm out. So now I'm thinking the guy's having a bad day, bad season, you know, couldn't make that mortgage payment. I understand that, been there, done that. But no, this guy literally walked away and never turned back. Never looked back. I said, my God. But you know, it's attention. When you walk according to the ways of God in this world, There are many, many times that it doesn't look like it's working. It doesn't feel like it's working. The conditions seem to contradict everything the preacher told you. And you'll say out loud sometimes, I've been tithing, and I don't understand why I can't pay my bills. Well, sometimes you've been holding on too firmly to the thing he told you would slip out of your hands. So he allowed the slippage so that you could wake up and realize that you've been holding too strong to something that's not eternal. So it becomes a lesson if you allow it, or it can turn you and flip you out, and now you're peering over, looking at the evildoer, saying, you know what? I'm going to do it the way he's doing it because this ain't working. Come on, somebody say it's attention. So then we find ourselves taking matters into our own hands. I'm just going to do me. Then you cherry pick the word, so you come in, you hear what you want to hear, and the rest you leave on the table. You know, it's like the kids. Everybody got one. Mr. Lou, he had to always eat around the peas. He ain't fooling with the peas. Eat anything, I'm not fooling with the peas. But see, as believers, we come in, we hear his word, and we pick what we want to pick. Hear what we want to hear. If it feels good to us and we're comfortable with it for the moment, we accept that. But the stuff that challenges us to change, the stuff that challenges us to adapt, to adjust, to be modified internally, that's the stuff that most cases we just kick it to the curb and try to drown it out with a whole bunch of other rhetoric. The admonishment today is to hear what the word has to say. Hear what the word has to say. He says, don't wear yourself out trying to get stuff. Restrain yourself. Riches disappear in the blink of an eye. Wealth sprouts wings and flies off into the wild blue yonder. Don't do it. Let God be God in your life. Get a hold of the principles and the values of the kingdom of God. And listen, listen. No matter what it looks like, the Bible says he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, I'm looking at this season. I'm actually excited about what's going on in the world. Yeah. Some preachers are jumping out the windows and telling folks, prepare for takeoff. We're going to get out of here in a minute. We ain't going nowhere. This is simply an opportunity. Yeah. Mr. Lou, I'm going to need you on that board. This is an opportunity for us as the church to stand up, take this book, internalize it, believe it, live it, love it, and show the world that no matter what laws are passed, no matter what fool makes a bad decision to do something stupid, that we're going to stand and believe that our God has made us victorious and we will walk in victory and we will live the abundant life that Jesus died for. We will walk it out, we will celebrate, and we will give praise to the Most High God. Amen? Amen. All right, God bless y'all today.